Hey, Queer Fam Squad. Since we're between seasons of the Queer Family Podcast this month, I wanted to give you something to keep you company while we're getting season 23 ready. And it is coming, and it's going to be good. But these tea time episodes are just me and my friend Diani catching up about what's happening in our lives. Sometimes they're funny, sometimes it's messy, and sometimes, like today's conversation, it's a little more vulnerable. I originally thought about putting these behind the subscriber paywall right away, but honestly, that just didn't feel right. So for the rest of July, I'm making these public for everyone to enjoy. Then, starting in August, new Tea Time episodes will become a subscriber perk. Anyway, thanks for being here. Now let's spill some tea. Enjoy.
Love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Hi, Diani.
News.
Welcome to Tea Time with Jamie and Diani. We're spilling the tea over the things that are happening with us this particular time when we're recording.
Well, Jamie, what's going on for you in your queer life right now?
Well, I did post about it recently, but Anne finally had her final cancer treatment on this past Friday of the day we're recording it. It's been a year and a half. So she was diagnosed in December of 2024.
Uh-huh.
And since then, she's gone through chemo, radiation, and targeted treatment. And the targeted treatment was the longest one. It was like 14 treatments every 3 weeks. So, and everything comes with side effects. Everything comes with feeling crappy. But at least once the chemo was done, she was able to grow her hair back. So that happened. But anyway, so we finally celebrated the final treatment. So now I know it's big. It's kind of crazy. And so now we're like seeing what it means to like heal and repair post this like traumatic journey that we were on.
What does that actually look like? I know that's a lot to answer, but I know that's a lot to answer, but like how, first of all, how is Anne doing? You know, like how is she feeling, looking? Because I know that you were saying like through the chemo and through all the things, it was really hard for obviously. So how is she doing now?
She's doing a lot better than she was when we were in the thick of it. I mean, she's doing a lot better. And I think she's finally feeling like positive and like she can see the light now because we're finally through it. And now she can really look forward to having hopefully way less side effects because she still has to take that pill that everybody takes for 5 years, possibly 10 or possibly her whole life. And we don't know what side of, she's already started taking, she's been taking that through the targeted treatment. We don't know which side effects came from which thing, right? So now we're finally going to be able to see what's her norm. Hopefully her norm is like her old norm. That's what we're hoping. But it's still like an unknown. Did I tell you this? She said to me on Mother's Day, we were celebrating Mother's Day. We went out to eat. And I asked her if she remembered the last year's Mother's Day, and she said, yeah, I remember you crying, breaking down and crying to me because we went out that date too. But she was like, she was deep in chemo and like had lost so much weight and was frail. And I remember this moment. She reminded me of it. But she came out from the bathroom at the restaurant and I just watched her walk and I just started crying because, and I said to her when she got over, I said, I feel like I'm just watching you waste away in front of me. And like, it's like, cause she really was just, she had no hair. She was walking hunched over. She was walking with a limp because the chemo had exacerbated a back problem. She had to go for emergency back surgery during it all. And so from that day to now, I mean, it's night and day. And it's so easy to like forget where you were, right? So, it feels like a lot, and it also doesn't feel like a lot at the same time. And I'm not the one who had the cancer. I'm not the one who went through the pain. I'm just the one who watched the person she loves.
Yeah, I mean, but even just that sentence, "watch the person she loves," go through cancer, the person you've been with for almost 20 years, the mother of your children, it's like, this is, it's not nothing to be the yeah. person caring for the other person.
Yeah.
And through this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so now we're learning what it means to heal. We have no idea. We're learning what it means to heal. We're learning what it means to, like, for her to be healthy again. You know, none of us are coming out of this not changed, if that makes sense. We just have to figure out what it is and yeah. how we navigate it and yeah. who we are on the other side, which it's yeah. probably not even that different. But at the same time, it's like super different. Like,
it is different. I can't imagine it not being any different. Like, I'd be curious to know, I think, two things. One, because I think I've always asked how this has impacted you. But I'm curious, like, with the kids, how they've responded through the whole process. And then also on a separate note, how has this affected, like, y'all's relationship, like, your love? I don't know. I think I can imagine it creating something so, like, deeper than it had even existed before. But that's my assumption.
Yeah. Well, okay. So we'll start with the kids. The kids, I'm sure, have been affected, especially the older one. She saw it. She really saw it more, I think, than we protected. We protected them both from it as much as we could. But she's older, so she saw more. So I think yes, they're changed. But also, I don't know to the extent.
Yeah,
of how much. Yeah, and like Orion will just say, "I didn't like it when you didn't have hair." That's his thing. Like, I didn't like it when you didn't have hair. So it affected him for sure. But we just continue to bring it up. We continue to joke about it in the house. That's how we talk through things. We joke. We're a jokey family. And just hope that, you know, they're not, like, scarred by it. But, you know, they still have their mom, right? So it could have been a trillion, zillion times worse. We're so lucky that she's still here. And never really, it didn't seem like she was not going to be here. Like, that was never.
Yeah.
Intonated to us that we had to worry or think about things like that. So that would have been a whole other, that's different.
Yeah.
And then, like, what was the second part of your question?
I think how it changed more than just your relationship, but your love, maybe, like, your experience being in partnership together.
I think on my part, I have a deeper tenderness for her. Like, it has grown deeper, and the softness, there's, like, more softness than there was right before this. Like, because we were in the routine, and life is tough when you're two parents dealing with the kids and all the things. We were just in the mode, and the cancer made us, like, snap out of it and, like, see each other. And so I can say on my end, there's a tenderness that I developed that I am trying really hard to hold on to, that because it helps in the hard times to remember this tender feeling I have towards her
to soften,
because watching her struggles softened me to her, you know. So there's that. And then also, like, she hasn't felt well for a year and a half, so that changes some dynamics, especially when it comes to some stuff. So, like,
yeah. So, like, intimacy.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
So figuring out how to build that all back. You know, and her body's different from surgery, and, like, that's a whole, I don't know how. Yeah. But that's where
we're
at.
Have you had those conversations?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have them. And Anne suffers through them, and I bring them up when I feel like she's in a good mood.
So who would be, I'm really curious about y'all's dynamic, because it sounds like joking's the way you guys handle mm-hmm. a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Is it hard to get, like, a serious, I mean, no, obviously you're having serious conversations, but is she more of an avoidant of those things? Because I can say with, like, Ashley and I, Ashley will be like, she'll be quite frank and be like, it takes a, sometimes it takes a lot of emotional labor to like get you to show up at the table to have harder conversations because I am more the avoidant. And I'm like, I don't love hearing that from my partner, of course, but I'm like, that is, that's true. That's real. So I'm curious, like, it sounds like you're more the one to be at the table. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm the, yes. She is more the avoidant. I don't know if it's the same as your way of avoiding. Hers is just a little more quick to anger. So like, I don't want to talk about that, you know, like that kind of thing. So but we've had to work through that. We've had how many years? 18 years of like working through that. And so, you know, we have ways of working around it. I know when it's a safe moment to bring certain things up. She knows that she has to come to the table from time to time, especially when I bring it up at the right moment. You know what I mean? Like there are, there's a, like a give and take and a push and pull of how you do it, but it's constantly evolving. And it's like this growing, like it's like an animal, like between us that we have to like maneuver. I don't know if animal was the right word, but you know, so, so yeah, it's like exciting and also a lot of unknowns, which is seems how cancer goes, really. Lots of unknowns. So
what do you hope for the other side of this? You know, like moving deeper, out of this.
Deeper connection. Deeper on every level connection. And I want us to, I'm not saying we're not back to normal, because we are back to normal, but I want, like I said, I want to hold on to the tenderness I found through this. And keep it, and not let the harshness come back. Cause it can so easily seep in when you're busy and stuff.
I mean, you're so busy, and I can also imagine just through it all the like additional physical labor and like emotional labor and like care for the kids, like all of the smaller things you're doing on top of the Queer Family Podcast, on top of your day job, on top of like all of the things. So it's not
love take just, two.
Love take two, you know, like that came in during the, I feel like a little bit more, I'm a little bit more like recent, but still like came into the picture. So handling all of those things while handling a partner who's in recovery or going through chemo, you have, I don't know, I feel like to me have shown me a different level of strength, because I think you just are busy and kind of like push through a lot of times and are just doing it. But it's been incredibly, I don't even know if impressive is the word, but
I have to say, keep talking, Deanna. Impressive. I love this.
It is. Jamie, I will want to pause and say, like, I hope you've also given yourself your flowers of like, you've managed as best as you can and you are managing well. From someone who talks to you on a weekly basis and has worked with you for the past year, you have managed and very well, it seems. I don't know.
Thank you. I'll take it. I don't know if I've I don't know if I've given myself my flowers. Maybe I need to do more of that. But
yeah,
I take time for me, though. I do. I work out Monday through Friday. And that's,
you are.
I do. I'm like, I take that time. That's my time. And I do it with my friends. So like, I feel like I like kill two birds with one stone. I get my friends and I have my workout and I heal myself every day. But I appreciate you saying that, because I feel like a hot mess.
But I feel like we all feel like a hot mess when we're in it. Like, I feel like anyone listening, no matter what they're doing, feels like a hot mess. Like, I feel like a hot mess on a daily basis. But I don't
know. You're not a hot mess.
See, that's the thing, too, because, like, I'll say it to you and be like, you're not a hot mess. And you're like, oh, but I am. And you'll be like, you're not a hot mess. And I'm like, debatable. Debatable.
Debatable.
But I hear you. And I think the making, I mean, you've, I feel like have since you've met Anne, have you consistently, like, worked out? Has that always been your thing since always? So it wasn't like a thing you had to start ever during this relationship. It's already like consistently a part of your time,
since
your
before
personal time.
Yeah, since pre-Anne, since way pre-Anne, actually. I need it. It's a necessity. Like, you got to find that thing. You got to find the outlet, right? I mean, I also drink too much. So my mom's probably listening, so, like, saying, wait, yes, but you too. I got to like,
seven.
Yeah, but. But you know what else is something I picked up that I'm going to hold on to throughout this process is a skincare routine.
Oh, say more.
So when Anne got diagnosed, I felt like helpless, like in so many ways, when she'd just be laying in the bed listless and like, just like there's so many helpless moments where you just like you want to help her, but you also have to deal with the things and the so helpless. This is a big feeling of somebody who's the partner of somebody going through something like that. And my friend had just discovered this like Korean skincare line, and she showed it to me, and I decided, all right, I'm gonna do that. And I started with this one Korean skincare line that I ordered online, and it was a long, it's like a system. You got to do this one, then you got to do this one, then you got to, you know, like a whole, you know, it takes like 5 to 10 minutes,
yeah,
morning and night. And that became like an anchor for me, actually. It became like after the whole chaos of the day, if she had been having like a really bad day, or she had to go to bed early because she just couldn't handle it anymore, and I did the kids and the dog, like having the anchor where I go to the bathroom and I start the process of the creams and the stuff became like solace for me. And I've been doing it ever since. So for a year and a half, I've been doing this like intense skincare routine, and it's changed. I've gotten new ones. So I just kind of like follow. It's a whole routine. It takes a while. Yeah, it takes a while. But like I said, it's like it can become your anchor. And I do it in the morning too. It's just this routine that sets me back to center, if that. You know, my workout does that too. But this also, when in the chaos of the night, especially when life just was hard, just going in there and like looking at my face in the mirror and just putting the stuff on was a foundation that I have grown to love.
That's what routine is for. Like I found when I was traveling full time and like in the chaos, the thing that I began to miss always was the routine, like why I moved to Brooklyn, why. And I think when you're in the midst of it's just having one thing that's consistent is what can keep you sane a lot of times. Mm-hmm. Having the mm-hmm. one thing that keeps you consistent. So that totally makes so much sense as to why that's helping you.
And I'm a chaotic person and I like chaos. Like I don't like to have the same schedule twice in a row. My schedule is, I have to check my schedule 5 times a day because it's so different all the time. And I like it that way. But at the same time, it's good to have the anchor moments here and there, right? So,
yeah. It helps.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's a vulnerable share. I really appreciate you sharing. And I hope the listeners will also appreciate that vulnerable share. So thanks.
I hope so, because there was no laughter in this one. I mean,
it's also behind the scenes. Like it's what's really going on in your life and our lives. And it's like important. I think it's important for people to know.
Yeah. It's what's going on. Yeah. What's going on? That's what's going on.
On this episode of Tea Time, we're talking real talk, more real talk than tea time, but
real talk with Jamie and Diani.
We'll see y'all on the next episode.
We'll see you. Thanks for tuning in. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love. All right, folks. If you enjoyed this week's Tea Time, this is exactly the kind of conversation that you're going to find here. These are the conversations that don't make it into the regular show. Sometimes I'm going to be laughing until I cry. Sometimes I'm going to be talking about one of the hardest things I've lived through. But it will always be real. It will always be candid. It will sometimes include a friend, and it will sometimes be just me chatting with you. And starting in August, Tea Time is going to become a subscriber exclusive. So if you'd like to keep hanging out with me each week and also support the Queer Family Podcast while you're at it, I would absolutely love to have you. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time. And if you like what you're hearing, go ahead and hit that subscriber link or go to Patreon and subscribe there. I'll be looking for you.